Well, it's good to be with you again this evening as we come together to worship God, to encourage one another, and to learn something from His Word. Some weeks ago, we had a special season in our nation. Somehow, we had a bunch of reindeer flying through the sky, and a fat man dropped down through chimneys. I'm not sure how he was able to get down through chimneys, because most chimneys are not real wide. But he came bringing gifts. Gifts. And we all know what the Christmas season is all about. It's about giving and receiving. And gifts are an important reminder of the blessings that we have. Very great. According to the Apostle Paul, there is a blessing in giving. Acts 20 and 25, "In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that He Himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" That is part of our responsibility as Christians, to be givers. And so during the Christmas season, there's always an abundance of giving as well as receiving, and abundant blessings that come. And what most of all these gifts are material in nature, perhaps we should also talk about some greater gifts, gifts of a spiritual nature that we are encouraged to give and that we are blessed to be able to give. So I want us in our lesson tonight to consider some of the better gifts to give. There's a great need for the gift of kindness, a great need of good people in our world even today. I'm afraid in our hurried lives today that we sometimes forget to be givers. We are a much busier nation than we was the last century when I was a young man. We have TV, the internet, and our iPhones and all of this stuff, and I get sometimes 150 emails a day. Most of it is junk, but I've still got to hit on the button and delete it. We have so many things that sometimes we get so caught up in things of this world that we forget to be givers of gifts to others. But giving is a characteristic of genuine love. 1 Corinthians 13:4, "Love is patient, love is kind, is not jealous, love does not brag, and is not arrogant." What is kindness? Kindness is something we express toward others, whether in our attitude, our behavior, or even in the giving of gifts when that is appropriate. Means a betterment to our brethren. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you." So our kindness in giving to others, whether it's an attitude or even a material gift, is a matter of bettering our brethren. And we feel an important need for others when we show kindness to them. That's part of our responsibility, to show kindness to others. And kindness is both an attitude and an action. It's both an attitude because it has to do with a kind person who is a doer of good. Galatians 6, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially those who are the household of faith." And how do you do good to others? You express kindness. You show kindness to them. And that's an important thing that we feel with others, because it is both an attitude and an action. A kind person is one who seeks to do good to others. 2 Timothy 3, "All scripture is inspired of God and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for" what? "Every good work." Would we say that a good work is an act of kindness? an attitude as well as an act of kindness, I think we would all agree with that. Certainly, certainly we would. Epaphroditus displayed this characteristic. Paul wrote to the Philippians in Philippians 2, "Therefore receive him in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me." So he was rendering to Paul kindness in providing some things that Paul needed, that the church of Philippi had supported, had supplied, and he did this putting himself at risk. He may not have anticipated this as he was taking this to Paul, but he was willing to do it, whatever the cost might have been. Timothy and Paul both showed this same kind of attitude. Paul wrote again to the church of Philippi, "But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition, for I have no one else of kindred spirit who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare, for your well-being." Timothy obviously had a spirit of kindness, as he is willing to minister unto them in whatever way they needed. He was willing to do this. And certainly Paul himself has this spirit. If you remember reading the 2 Corinthians 11 chapter, the whole long list of tragedies of all that Paul suffered, and yet his spirit was, he was not going to give up, he was going to press on. So apart from these external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my being my intense concern? Paul had a spirit of kindness toward his brethren. And no matter what happened to him, as you read through that, he was not saying, "Woe is me, woe is me. Look at all this happened to me." He lists these things and says, "But they do not dampen my spirit. I have the same concern. I have the same attitude towards you. These things don't stand in the way. They don't stand in the way." And kindness is, of course, the right way to show Christ through us. That's how we demonstrate his virtues, through our good works, so we can fulfill the responsibility given to us in Matthew 5:16. "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." We can become more like him to become a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And so if we determine to give the act of kindness, the gift of kindness, will be a great blessing to those who are around us. But also remember that there are consequences if we do not have the spirit of kindness. Remember Christ's description of the judgment day in Matthew 25? It's pretty intense. "To those on the left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which is prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not invite me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they themselves were also answered, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them and saying, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Pretty serious. Pretty serious to think about. And then there is the gift of time. Our presence may be our best present. Our presence. And it's easy, as I mentioned, it's easy for us to get so distracted by all the things around us, all the technology that consumes our time, so many things coming out over the internet. And our family and friends should not fall in the category of being neglected. But they seem to from time to time. Oh, we have good intentions. We're going to get this done. We're going to do that for this person in time, you know. But then, well, I'll do it later. But somehow later doesn't come. Somehow we forget about it. And somehow we die before we get things done that we really intended to do. It's not our intention to neglect, but the idea, I'll have time later. I'll have time later. And only regrets remain if we run out of time before our good intentions are fulfilled. James 4 and verse 14. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. We never know what our last time on earth will be. So we always need to be aware of opportunities to show kindness to others while we have the opportunity. And our presence in these relationships is good. Because our world is full of negative pressure. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Others trying to bring us down. There may be those who are only wanting to do us wrong. 1 Peter 3:4. A time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousings, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. And in all this, they're surprised that you do not run with them to the same excess of dissipation, and they malign you. Those in the world want us to be like them, and they'll exert whatever pressures they can. Now, I know this is particularly true about young people when they're in school and their buddies are out doing drinking and doing all kind of things, you know, and they make ridicule of those who are Christians among them who do not go to the same excess of riot with them. They make fun of them, and many will shun them. And so the temptation is to join in with them so that we will have friends. They wanted to get us away. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And you know the rest of the passage? Among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that you, in the day of Christ, I may have cause of glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. We live in a dark world. And Christ says, and Paul says also, we need to let our light shine. And you never know what your influence will do for others. I remember some years ago, one of our families in the church in Roswell, in Atlanta, where I was preaching, that Max, while in his 40s or maybe 50, went back to Texas for a high school reunion. And one of his classmates came up to him and said, I always knew there was something different about you, because he was a Christian and his light was shining. And she could see that light. She knew there was something different about him. So, we are to be a positive influence, an example of good in the world. Remember Paul's words to his young son of the gospel, Timothy? Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. It says, don't let anybody look down on you. Well, if they're not looking down, what are they doing? Well, they should be looking up. And that's the idea Paul has here. They should look up to you because you're shining an example. You're shining a light that they may see your good works, the way you live, the way you operate, so that you might encourage them to follow after you. Acts 4:36. Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian by birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement. Barnabas, or Joseph, had a reputation that others looked up to and respected. He was called the son of encouragement. What a great reputation. And we encourage one another, even by the simple act of gathering together, as we are this evening. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Something we need to be careful about in our day and time. Many churches, they broadcast the services. And that's good, because there are some people who are not able to attend. And they can still learn and be encouraged by watching the service. But with the COVID virus that's been around the last 2 years, and churches that are able to broadcast, some people, I'm afraid, have gotten into the habit of watching it at home while they're at ease sitting on the couch in the living room drinking a cup of coffee. They may be learning something, but not encouraging others. And the writer of Hebrews says, we need to consider one another, not forsaking our own assembling together. So while it may be convenient and comforting to watch from home, when we can assemble, we need to be present. We need to be present. Because in doing so, we encourage one another. We encourage one another. Acts 11:23. Then when he had come and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them with all resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. And so we are to be encouraged. So, if we determine to give the gift of time, we offer important encouragement and a great blessing to others. There's another gift, and that is the gift of hope. Every soul in the world needs this one gift more than any other gift that could be given. Every soul will one day be a part of the all of the whole world. As Paul wrote in Romans 10:14, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. Every soul who ever lived on the face of the earth will be there. Will be there. And sadly, most will be on the wrong side of the judgment seat. Most will be on the left. He will say to those on the left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which is prepared for the devil and his angels. Depart from me into the eternal fire. So, let's be sure that we're giving it. So what is the greatest gift, the greatest gift or deed of kindness that we can offer? What would that be? I think you know the answer. The hope of life eternal. Matthew 9. Seeing the multitudes, Christ felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. We need to say, have the same attitude that the Apostle Paul had, as expressed in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Can there be any greater gift that we could give to anyone than the words, welcome, welcome to heaven? And this gift was given to us that we might share it with others. That we might share it with others. And who are the others? Who are the they? Our neighbors, our friends, our schoolmates, our co-workers, strangers, store clerks. Anybody we meet out there is one who is in need of the gift. Now, we may offer it and they may not want it. That's their problem. Our job is to offer the gift. I've got a series of lessons that I do on what's called personal evangelism. And I talk to the bank tellers. Go into the bank. I could go through the drive-up window. I like to go inside and act and really talk to someone face-to-face. And through the years, I've baptized two or three bank tellers. I talk to drugstore clerks. Talk to next-door neighbors. Whoever I can talk to. The waitress in our eating place where we go out to eat. And I've baptized some of those. I start a conversation which leads to communication, and they're led to Christ. And you may think, well, I'm kind of getting old for that. Except for our friend down in Tampa, in a nursing home, who at age over 100 was teaching some of her fellow residents and had some baptized. Or, well, I'm too young, you know. Well, except I know an 11-year-old boy who invited one of his grade school friends to school, to church, and she came with her mother and both were baptized. So age, you know, doesn't matter in this. Whether young or old, we still know people and we have opportunities. Here's someone who found his own brother, Simon, said to him, we found the Messiah, which translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon the son of John, and you shall be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. So Peter's brother brought him after his brother had been called. Cornelius, the Roman centurion, gave this gift to his family and friends as Peter came to teach. And Cornelius called in a whole bunch of people. I want you to hear this man. I want you to hear this man. And then we have a woman, a despised woman, at a well. Christ had stopped on his journey, sent the disciples on into town to buy some food. And here's a woman that came to draw water from the well. And he began to talk to her. Two things wrong with that from their perspective. Well, three things wrong with it. She was a woman. She was a Samaritan. And she was an adulteress. That did not deter Christ from talking to her. And you know what happened? Well, I've already passed that up, Acts 10:24. But she went into town. She left her water pot, went into the city, and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all things that I've done. This is not the Christ, is it? They went out of the city and were coming to him. So this woman of bad reputation went back and invited the whole city to come, and a half crowd followed her. What an example of what one woman can do when she sets her mind to it. The Great Commission, which I'm sure many of us, most of us, maybe all of us have memorized, was given to the apostles, but not to them only. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the ages. Now note, you teach them to do what I've taught you to do. Go, make disciples, baptize them, and then you teach them to do what I've told you to do. This was not just to the 12. This is to everyone who is a Christian, that we're commissioned to go and find others to tell them about Christ. Whether our next door neighbor, our drugstore clerk, our car repair mechanic, or whoever it may be. The Great Commission, as we see, was not just to the 12. It's for everyone who names the name of Christ. And if we will do that, we will be offering the greatest gift that anyone could ever offer in this world. So, during the season, many gifts were given back in December. But if we determine to give the gift, we offer the most important gift that could ever be given, and that is eternal life. So, don't forget to look for opportunity to share far more important gifts, kindness, time, and the hope of heaven. If there's one present this evening, I don't know who you are, but if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, either as a fallen child of God to return to Him, one who has never become a child of God, He calls you. He says, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. If there's anyone who needs to respond to the invitation, won't you come as we stand together and as we sing?